Listen to shoot the defense. It's unbelievable, Jeff.
Hello and welcome to Shoot the Defense on FNX. I'm your host Stowe and we have an absolutely packed show this evening. My co-hosts this evening, as ever, are Rodri Giggs and Mr. Yannickis J. Gents, how you doing, Rod? I believe you had a little trip to Ibiza. How was it?
Yeah, it was good. We had played a charity game out there. There was a few good players out there as well. Fanini George, Ivan Campo, and a couple of ex-Spanish players out there. But yeah, it was a good weekend. Raised a lot of money. I didn't drink much either.
Okay, Pinocchio. Yeah, and how you doing, mate?
It was a good weekend. It was a good weekend. We raised a lot of money in there. Yeah, it was good crap, but back to the grind.
Did you score at least?
I did score, actually. Yeah, oh. I did score.
Okay.
It was an okay goal as well.
You had to say that, didn't you?
Yeah. Yeah.
Fair enough. Yeah, and I'd ask how your weekend went, mate, but given all those United tweets, I think I know the answer already.
Yeah, it was terrible, mate. Terrible.
Your weekend or United?
United. We should sign Rod. He'll do a better job than all of them, I tell
you. Oh, dearie me. It's going to be one of those shows already. Right, I'll tell you what, let's begin the show with our quiz, our normal quiz, which doesn't have a name. The quiz that has no name. For the benefit of our listeners, the rules are simple. I've picked three Premier League games from seasons before, and this season happens to be 2011-2012. I haven't given this quiz a name, so I'm going to call it the quiz that has no name. I feel like I'm repeating myself. Good evening, Mems, who's listening live on Periscope. How you doing, mate? The quiz is simple. I've picked three matches from season 2011-2012. I'll give you guys the results, and you need to guess the goal scorers. Okay, but don't tell me your guesses just yet. Wait till the end of the show because we had this problem last week and Jan just wasn't obeying by the rules and started to throw in Emil Heskey's name randomly. No Emil Heskey this week, Jan. Okay?
No.
All right, okay. So the first game, Man United 2, Norwich City 0. Back when Man United could beat teams like Norwich.
And what year was this?
2011-2012.
2-0.
Yeah, surprising. United won 2-0.
I remember the 2-1, but I'm trying to think the 2-0. Okay.
Okay, right. Next game, Merseyside Derby. Everton 0, Liverpool 2.
Who was that, sorry?
Everton 0, Liverpool 2.
2011-2012.
Mem says Mark Robbins, but Mark Robbins, I think, was Coventry manager at the time, to be fair. But again, Mark Robbins will probably score more goals than Lukaku this season. But anyway, let's not go into that. Right, next game. Blackburn 0, Man City 4.
Oh, I don't believe that.
Yeah, it happened. That wasn't the season when Man City allegedly had 250,000 people turn up at Ewood Park, by the way. Rod knows that story. Right. Keep those answers to yourself and we'll go back to it at the end of the show. Right. So, the first bout of the season between two title contenders came at Stamford Bridge, where Daniel Sturridge came back to haunt his former club, earning Liverpool a point with a wonder strike, or a worldie, as Sam Matterface called it. Eden Hazard gave Chelsea the lead with his second goal against Liverpool in a week, but Jurgen Klopp's men were a bit unfortunate not to come away with all 3 points, having missed a host of chances. Rod, Klopp said he believed his side deserved the point and that he's happy with that. I don't think he believes that deep down, mate, does he? I mean, Liverpool had enough chances to win it.
Yeah, they did, but you know, if you go to away to, you know, Stamford Bridge, which is it's a tough ground to go to, and Chelsea playing well at the minute. I know they had a few chances, and they probably were the better side. It's still a good point to come away with, but you know, probably deep down, yeah, he's probably a bit disappointed that they didn't come away with the 3 points. Because, like I say, they did have a few chances, and they could have come away with 3 points.
Fair enough. Jan, Sarri told the media that he was actually really happy with the performance and that his team is improving match by match, which you can't really disagree with. But what is it about Sarri's methods that's so special, mate? What's his secret?
He just plays attacking football still. You know, as you know, I don't think you've been Sarri's biggest fan over the years, but he's kind of never really won anything, to be fair. But he's always been complimented for the style that he's put or implemented to the teams that he's managed. Like, you know, Napoli, he came in and made them a force. I mean, they I think they broke records about goals that they scored. And he's doing the same with Chelsea as well. It's kind of, you know, attack, attack, attack. And, you know, it's a really kind of nice way, you know, as a United fan as well, watching Chelsea, actually decent to watch because they play football in a really attacking kind of method. So they'll score a lot of goals. They will concede with the system that he plays, you know. They're always going to be vulnerable at the back because, you know, if you're attack, you're always kind of liable to concede. But I think Chelsea could match City and Liverpool due to the fact that they'll probably just only have the league to concentrate this year. I mean, I know they've got the Europa, but I don't know if they're going to take that really serious. So I think they can mount a serious title challenge this year.
Are you worried about him defensively, though? Because let's be 100% honest, David Luiz isn't the greatest central defender out there, and Rudiger can be erratic. I know he had a good back end the last season. But I fear for them defensively. What do you make of that?
Yeah, no, I agree. I don't think they've really replaced kind of John Terry not being there as well. I mean, you know, Gary Cahill has been on the bench as well, which I think Gary Cahill is actually decent, and I'd probably pick him. And like I said as well, playing an attacking style of football, you're always going to be vulnerable at the back anyway. And Chelsea are not great there, so and also their keeper is new as well, Kepa. I mean, he's not in Courtois' kind of league just as yet, and he's still got to learn the league. And he's done okay since he's been there, but you know he'll probably be tested as the season goes on as well.
Mm. Okay, well, this time last season, Daniel Sturridge was probably wondering if he had a future at Liverpool. Now, if you fast forward 12 months, it looks as if he's close to morphing back into the Daniel Sturridge that gave defenders the jitters 4 or 5 seasons ago, mate. What do you make of his recent form?
Sturridge could be the reason why Liverpool can win the title this season. A fully fit Sturridge would score goals and cause problems to anybody. The fact that he's been used so kind of frequent, he's been on the bench, probably means less time for him to be injured. And when he comes on with the pace that he's got, the ability he's got, he's always going to, you know, he's always going to score goals. And I think Firmino hasn't really been great this season for Liverpool. So I think he's pushing for a start now. And, you know, I think he should play.
Fair enough. Do you reckon he'll get in the England squad anytime soon?
Yeah, why not? If he carries on scoring goals and he stays fit, then why not? On his day, like I said, he's just as good as anyone putting the ball in the back of their net as well. So I don't see why not.
Great stuff. Rod, do you think Salah's slight dip in form is a bit of a concern for Liverpool? Is it too much being made about it?
Yeah, I think there's a bit too much being made of it. He had a fantastic season. I don't think he'll ever have a season like he did last season. Yeah, he's had a tough summer. He's had an injury with that as well. And, you know, like I say, he had a fantastic season last season. He was a bit like, you know, like Leicester. It was just a one-off that he'll never score 40 goals again. And the defenders know about him. Other teams know about him. So they won't get as much space as he got last year. So it'll be a bit more difficult for him. But, you know, he'll still score 25, 30 goals. And that's still a great season for him because there's other players around that squad that can chip in, and Mane and Firmino, Sturridge like we've just been talking about. So they've got goals all through that team. So, you know, if they deal with Sturridge in the right way and you know, not play him as much, because when he does play too many games, history tells you he gets injured. But if, like Jan says, a fresh Daniel Sturridge with the 3 that they've already got and Shaqiri, you know, they're looking strong this year, Liverpool.
Mm.
Looking very strong.
While we're on the subject of goals, I'd like to refer to Alan Madrid in the chat on YouTube. He says, Chelsea's midfield is serious, but they need a striker. Now, I tend to agree with that, to be fair. I don't know what you guys think, because, you know, they lost Diego Costa, who scored 24, 25, how many goals it was when they won the championship. Morata isn't going to get you that many goals at the moment. Giroud sure as hell isn't going to. If Chelsea are serious about winning the league, obviously I've addressed the defensive issues, but what about going forward? Because I know Hazard is in the form of his life at the moment, but take him out of the equation, Chelsea look as if they might struggle for goals. What do you think?
Yeah, I agree,
Stowe, as well, in a sense. Well, they bought Morata for them goals, didn't they? It just hasn't worked out for the lad. I think Giroud, though, gives them a better platform in the way that he plays, because he can bring players like Hazard and Willian and even Pedro. He seems to do a lot of the donkey work, Giroud, where he holds up the ball quite well, or he flick it on, and then kind of the quicker players can run in behind him and get in. So Giroud's probably the better suited striker to play at the moment. But if they did manage to get a striker and with the talent that they've got behind them, they'll be a real force, Chelsea. But like we touched on earlier, I think defensively is probably the bigger issue that they will have.
Fair play. Tottenham's 2-0 win over Huddersfield moves up to fourth, while Arsenal's victory against Watford makes it 7 wins on the bounce in all competitions for Unai Emery's men. Rod, Arsenal began the season with 2 losses, but they're now getting the results their hard work and playing style deserves. What do you think Unai Emery has brought to the club so far, and can you see him turning them into title contenders eventually?
Well, they're a massive team, a massive club, so why not? They should be up there with the facilities they got, the money they've got, and which the players they've got. They've got some decent players there, and like you said, they've had a good start. Well, after the 2 losses, obviously, but you know, they're quietly going about the business, and no one's really talking about him, and just going about winning game after game, and he's quietly doing a good job there, and he's still a long job, he's still a big job, but you know, I think the fans now are happy that Wenger's gone, the majority of them, and they've got the new man in, and you know, they'll get behind him and give him time, and I'm sure eventually, because you see now how well he did with Sevilla, how well he did the other teams he's been at. So I'm sure he's still going to be tough, because they're looking at Liverpool and Chelsea squad and Manchester City. So it's still a long way to go. But if you look at it now, they're a top 4 team, overtaking United, really. If you pick a 4, if you had to pick 4 now, you'd pick Arsenal, Chelsea, Manchester City and Liverpool, with Tottenham and United missing out. If you had to pick one, who's going to finish in the top 4 now?
Jan, you reckon Emery can turn them into title contenders one day?
Oh yeah, if the board and the fans give him the opportunity, yeah. I mean, the guy's coming in, is coming with his own ideas, and it's going to take time to get them ideas across to the players. Arsenal have had the kind of same manager and the same staff for all these years, so the manager's coming in with, and let's face it, the quality at Arsenal, yeah, they've got some good players, but there's not a lot of quality there at Arsenal. So he's got to build that squad as well and get them to where Arsenal fans and think that they belong. And but so far, they're playing good football, they get results. And don't forget, the 2 losses that they had start of the season, well, the champions at home, Man City, and easily they could have beaten Chelsea away. I mean, on another day, they could have scored 3 or 4 in the first half and blew Chelsea away. So yeah, they lost their first 2 games, but they weren't as bad as you know, the results or the performances showed. So Arsenal fans should have a lot of hope and a lot of optimism about the new manager.
I think the problem with Arsenal will be the same problem with Chelsea. I think they'll be weak defensively, but you know, he's had 1 transfer window. I'm sure he'll see that over the season and he'll address it. So I think that with the problem with the sticking point with Arsenal this year is the defence is not the best.
I think if Arsenal get Champions League football this year, will be a fantastic season for them.
I think they'll win the Europa League, to be honest. They're my tip to win it.
Yeah, they could easily win that. Yeah. But he's got good history in that as well. He's won it, 3 or 4 times?
Yeah, he won it 3 times with Sevilla.
He knows how to win it.
It depends who drops out of the Champions League as well, Stowe.
What was Yeah, I know you say this, but if you look at the group stage of the Champions League, any team that drops out, I don't think are impeccable enough to win the Europa League. I mean, let's be honest. Who's going to drop out of United's group? It's going to be either Valencia or United, right? Mm. So, right? Do you think United are good enough to win the Europa League with this squad? I don't think so. If you look at Liverpool's group with Napoli and Paris Saint-Germain, I don't think Paris Saint-Germain are going to get knocked out. So it's Napoli. We saw what happened with Napoli last season in the Europa League. Mm. I don't think they're going to win it. So if you look at the rest of the teams that drop out of the Champions League, they're not, they don't stand out as much as your Arsenals and Chelsea's, in my opinion anyway. And I think the way that Emery is setting his stall out and the way that Arsenal are going forward, they can destroy any team with the pace and power they have. My only concern, if I was an Arsenal fan, would be defensively. And I think that once he's got a back four that he's happy with and he can get the cohesive unit that we see that he's trying to work on, I don't see why they can't go for that Europa League, to be fair. And let's be honest, they're better defensively than they were last season under Wenger.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, definitely.
There you go. All right. Well, yeah, and Watford wasted a couple of chances, and that's when the score was 0-0. But it just shows how small the margin for error is at this level, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, as we keep saying, and it's probably an old cliche, if you don't take the chances, you know, it goes around the other end, and that happens as well. It was an unfortunate on goal as well for Arsenal to take the lead. But do you know what? Watford gave a good account of themselves. They played well, probably deserved the point. But, you know, when you go to the, you know, places like the Emirates, when you take, you know, if you get one or two opportunities, it's very important to put the ball in the back of the net, take the lead, then you've got something to hang on or fight for. So they were unlucky, but they're another team, Watford, this year that have taken strides this year. They've done really well under Gratia. You know, they're improving all the time. They're a tough side to beat, and I've been impressed with Watford this season.
Rod, that's two league wins on the bounce of Spurs, so it looks like they're crisis is over, I guess you're going to call it that. Pochettino's men have actually scored 32 out of their last 33 Premier League games, but I can't help but think they're not consistent enough to be taken serious as title contenders. Do you agree?
Yeah, totally agree. I just don't think the squad's strong enough. I think Harry Kane, it's too much on his shoulders to do it all on his own. I think that they haven't got enough cast around him to help him out. I think Ericsson's chips in, Ali chips in, but you just need more than that. And I think they need two or three top quality players still to have any chance of winning the league, in my opinion, because we've seen it over the years. They just dip form at the end of the season and just don't get over that finishing line, where if they had two more, or possibly three quality players, then I think they'd be much closer. But yeah, with the squads, with Chelsea and Liverpool and City have got, I still think they're miles behind them, to be honest.
Can I add something still? Yeah. The problem I've got with Tottenham, especially with the players, I think they've become too complacent. They know, you know, the so-called bigger players, your Canes, your Ericsons, your Allies, they know that even if they have a stinker for the next 2 months, they're still going to play. Because Tottenham haven't invested and improved the squad this season, the players that are there know that they're undroppable. So I think the standards or maybe the attitudes this season has been a little bit different, because they know that they're going to play every week. There's not much competition there. If Kane goes 3 months without scoring a goal, nobody else is going to play up front. So, you know, Eriksen the same, Ali the same, you know. Eric Dier, I haven't seen Eric Dier play well for about 6 months, still first on the team sheet at Tottenham. So, for me, that kind of says it all.
Okay. Well, look, I know you're a massive fan of Pochettino's. In fact, before the show, you were saying that he should replace Jose Mourinho. We've obviously seen massive changes in Tottenham's performances and results since he took charge.
Yeah.
Where do you think they need to improve if they are to mount a title challenge?
I think they need another centre forward to partner Harry Kane, or if not partner Harry Kane, somebody that's going to step in his shoes when Kane doesn't perform. Left back, possibly. I mean, Rose and Davies have done well, but maybe another, you know, proper solid left back. Right back, who they got? Well, Trippier's been good. Goalkeeper's good. Centre halves are good.
See, this is the thing about Spurs.
I don't know. They're a good side, Tottenham. I mean, the first 11 are just kind of as good as anybody. I just think they need better players in the squad all round, that when your Ericsson's, like I was mentioning earlier, are not playing well, maybe somebody else who's just as good can come in and do a job. It doesn't necessarily mean that they can start or be in the team, but if you've got better players in the squad all round, it also improves the game of everybody else that are playing as well, because they've got to step up knowing that if they don't play well, somebody else is going to come in and take their place. So you always need that competition.
But see, this is the thing about Spurs, right? If you look at... take Man City and Liverpool out of the equation, because we know they're going to be the front runners for the title. Look at all the other teams competing for, say, top four. You can say exactly where they need to improve. Chelsea need to improve probably defensively and maybe bring in a striker that can get them 15 to 20 goals. Arsenal, sure as hell, can improve defensively. Spurs, you look at them and you think, well, where do they actually need to improve? Because 1-11, that team speaks for itself. You can pick that team easily with your eyes closed.
Maybe another defensive midfielder still?
But who are you gonna take out? Because I think Dembele is the best player in that position anyway.
You could play Dembele with another top quality, about somebody like a Verratti or someone like that, you know? Someone that can do the donkey work in there, let Dembele go and express himself. Dembele's not a holding midfield player, but Dembele's got a lot of ability on the ball. He can offer Tottenham a lot more going forward. For me, he doesn't do enough for his talent and ability that he has. I think, personally, he could do a lot more than Dembele.
Okay, fair enough. I'll take that on board. And if Spurs sign an attacking midfielder, or a defensive midfielder, then... yeah, we can discuss this further, because I'm pretty sure that might answer our questions. Right, let's move on to Man United, because their week went from bad to worse after a 3-1 defeat by West Ham. Meanwhile, Everton bounced back from last week's defeat, ironically, against West Ham, turning over Fulham 3-0. Jan, if we put Mourinho's relationship with Pogba and Woodward to the side for the time being, Saturday's performance has to be the worst out of all the bad ones we've seen under Moyes, Van Gaal, and even Jose. United were awful from the first minute, weren't they?
How long can I go on for still?
Oof, well, we've already done 22 minutes, mate, so make it quick.
If you ever saw a bunch of players down tools or down tooling manager, whatever the saying is, it was Saturday. They're gone still. A massive change needs to happen at United. If it is the manager, then so be it. And then get rid of the bad apples in the summer, your Poppers, your Martials, people that have caused all this unrest, uncertainty, whatever you want to call it, in the dressing room. It's toxic. Everything around United is all negative. There's nothing positive. I heard the rant or whatever that you did on YouTube, and you hit the nail on the head still. There's so much. Is it regressed? If that's the right word.
Yeah, gone backwards.
Yeah, we've gone backwards, mate. You know, we bought Mourinho in thinking that, you know, we've got this tactical, astute manager who brings success, and you know, and we thought that after the Europa League that we might actually kick on, and for whatever reason we've just gone backwards. The players don't want to play for him. I don't even think the manager likes the players, to be honest. I think he's going in thinking, what am I working with? This is not working. Mourinho won't leave because he's not going to lose £22 million by walking away. So he's waiting for the club to sack him. The club don't want to sack him because they don't want to pay him £22 million. So where do we go from here? I mean, I feel sorry for the United fans, you know, turning out. I mean, usually United fans don't leave early, but I'm watching them on Saturday, and 10, 15 minutes before the end, they're already gone at the stadium. They already know what's happening. And, you know, like they say, it's us that suffer, but something needs to happen, and it needs to happen quickly. I mean, it's laughable, but United season's over in September.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you this for now. This is from something I heard today. I'm not saying take it as gospel. I'm not claiming I'm ITK or anything, but this is just something I've heard. He's basically a dead man walking. A defeat midweek, or defeat tomorrow night against Valencia, and a bad result against Newcastle, and I think that's it for him. I think they're ready to pull the trigger, from what I've heard. And they're not... they're not afraid to pay out. The only thing is, where does Ed Woodward stand in this one? because if he does sack Jose Mourinho, this is the third manager on his watch that has gone. Yeah. What does it say that he's offered? Well, he gave Mourinho a new contract, a contract extension, backed him in the summer, albeit not as much as Mourinho would have liked, but he's still giving him the money. So what does that say about Ed Woodward? It shows me, or it tells me, that Woodward is teetering on the edge of being booted out of the club by the owners. No matter how much he's brought in from a financial aspect, I think the Glazers are actually ready to pull the trigger on him as well. Rod, I guess the burning question in this case is, has Jose lost the dressing room?
Well, that's a difficult question, that. Because I've been in a dressing room where you can have two or three players out of a 25-man squad and you only need two or three bad eggs and they can just poison everyone. And just by negative thoughts and negative sayings. So it's a difficult one. If he's lost the dressing room, I don't think he's lost the dressing room, but there's definitely a few bad eggs in the dressing room and not enough stronger characters to sort it out in the dressing room, because, you know it, by all accounts, the players really should be having a team meeting between themselves and saying, come on, this is not right. We're a team and we're not performing. And ultimately, they should be sorting out between themselves, because they're performing on the pitch. No matter what the manager says to them, they should be running about and working hard, and the stats tell you that they're not doing that. So there's a definite issue. There's a few bad eggs, and you know, there's a few people that do need to go.
Well,
does the manager need to go? I don't know. You know, I remember when Ferguson bought Pallister, Ince, a few other players, Mike Phelan, Neil Webb, and they didn't win for 11, 12 games. So would he have gone, Ferguson, back then? If he was in these times. So he's a proven winner. I just think there's a few players that definitely need to be thrown out of the club and
still
quickly.
Sorry, he's lost the dressing room for me. And his track record at previous clubs just proves it. He went to
Rio. You say that, Stel. You say that, Jan, about previous clubs. Inter Milan, people loved him, and they were hugging him. Porto, the same. You got, so it's 2-2. So
yeah, but
it's not every single club that he's been at.
No, it's not every single club. But I can point out the two other clubs that he.
I know every single club that he's won a trophy, and he continues to win trophies. I know that every single club.
But first season at United, they did that. Second season, he fell out with the players. He started with Pogba last season, and it's materialised again this year. It happened at Real Madrid with Casillas and Ramos. It happened at Chelsea with Hazard and the bigger players. And it's happened at United with Pogba and Martial. It's an ego thing with Mourinho. It's all about him. I'm not saying that the players are not at fault here. Don't get me wrong. But it's a pattern that wherever he's gone, he's caused hate.
But if you do what you want to do, the players are dictating the manager getting the sack because he's got a bigger ego than me. It's pathetic. It's just a joke. Pogba needs to go. Marsh needs to go. He's the manager of the football club. He needs to sort it out. Or the one upstairs needs to get rid of him and then bring someone else in.
I agree.
Players dictating to a manager to get in a sack.
No, I totally agree. If Mourinho goes, I still want Pogba and Martial to go because they're just as bad as him. I'm not disputing that. I'm just talking about Mourinho's track record of, all right, he didn't do that Inter Milan, but...
Or Porto,
he was starting out. That's why I can indicate that, you know, I can see a pattern. You know, look at Chelsea. They went from champions and finished, 10th, 11th in the league or something like that? Because he lost the dressing room and the players didn't want to play for him. Now, the other side for it, the players don't play for the manager. They play for Man United. So they're disrespecting us, the fans, who are following United and support them. So, don't get me wrong. It's not Mourinho walking out on the pitch to play. It's the players. So they're just as bad. And, you know, if we get rid of Mourinho tomorrow and Pogba scores the winner, United fans are going to sing in Pogba's name at the weekend.
I don't think they would be.
Well, I hope not anyway, because he needs to go. I don't care if he's worth 90 million or 90 pence. He needs to go.
See, this is the thing. This is my honest opinion. And, you know, I'd like to know what you guys believe in this. I don't want this to turn into a Man United show, but I personally believe that the players are hiding behind this whole Jose Pogba thing. They know that this is making back page headlines. People are talking about Mourinho and Pogba, and their performances are left in the dark. We know that, obviously, they're not playing well, hence the results. But it just seems to me that they're hiding behind this. Now, if Jose Mourinho and Pogba do go, and say Martial, they've got no one to hide behind. Before, it was the whole Van Gaal issue with, you know, Van Gaal's erratic behaviour. And before that, it was David Moyes with his silly one-liners before games when or after games when we've lost. But it just seems now that they're using this as an excuse. And I think the sooner, as you guys said, Pogba goes, the sooner Jose Mourinho goes, the sooner Martial, and even Luke Shaw goes, because he's embroiled in this little clique as well. The sooner those four individuals go, possibly United can move on. But until then...
To be honest, the guy who bought Pogba in should go, because the greatest manager the club's ever had got rid of him because he was a bad egg.
Mm.
So why on earth would you pay £90 million to bring him back? Why? Because he earns money. So we're just a money machine now, not worried about trophies, because we're not going to win any trophies or win leagues with Paul Pogba in the midfield. We're just not. It's just all he's worried about is his haircut and his Twitter followers. The guy's a dickhead. He needs to go.
There you go. Quickly, Jan. Big win for Everton. Very solid display.
Yeah.
What do you think the fans expect to see this season? I think possibly a high finish in the table, or maybe like a trophy to come across, or maybe a League Cup. I don't know. What do you think the Everton fans expect from this team?
Well, they want better football. I mean, they slaughtered Allardyce because he played negative, defensive, kind of boring style football. Everton fans wanted Marco Silva because he likes playing attacking football or expansive football. So they will definitely want a higher finish than last season, see better football at Goodison because that's what they craved. And like you said, maybe a good cup run or, you know, to give them kind of a bit of optimism for the future. So Everton are a big club. They people must not forget that. And so just an improvement from last season. And then, you know, as long as the manager's there and they back him and give him a chance. Marco Silva's all right. He's a decent manager. He's got good methods and good philosophy about him. So Everton will do well under him.
Great stuff. Right, in other news, Milan beat up Sassuolo 4-1 to register only their second league win of the season, moving them to 10th in the table, while Juve maintained their 100% record with a 3-1 home victory over title rivals Napoli.
Yeah.
Napoli. Right, there were also wins for Inter and Roma. Roma actually beat Lazio 3-1 in the Rome derby. Great result for them. Jan, you know Serie A more than most. Juve have opened up a 7-point lead at the top, but I'd like to know your views on Carlo Ancelotti's Napoli, who've conceded 10 goals in their opening 7 games. Has to be a cause for concern, surely?
Yeah, absolutely. You're not going to win games or titles by conceding goals, and it looks like they've just followed that from last season, Napoli, where they attack and concede goals. And Ancelotti's been more of a shrewd manager over the years. Yeah, he likes playing a decent style of football, but he's always had his teams defensively sound. So the fact that they're conceding a lot of goals is worrying. They put a good display on Saturday. They lost the man as well. He got sent off. And then after that, he was backs against the wall. But he needs to address, like you said, defensively. And then hopefully mount a title charge with Juve. I mean, Napoli over the last 2-3 years are kind of thereabouts, but they haven't pushed on. And because they're a good side, Napoli. They've got some really good players. So, Koulibaly's a really good... I like him. I think he's a really good defender as well. And, if they become a little bit more solid at the back, then maybe. But if they carry on conceding goals like that they have been, then they're not going to be anywhere near Juventus at the end of the season.
All right, well, let's talk about Roma then, because I know their head coach, Di Francesco, has had a lot to deal with in terms of big names leaving the club over the past couple of seasons. How difficult do you think it is for him to build a cohesive unit when so many players are arriving and departing?
Yeah, absolutely. You're not going to build a team or a squad or man a title challenge if all your best players are leaving. He's trying to work with a lot of youth there as well. They brought Clive in the summer. He's been under pressure. The squad is not strong in depth to be where Roma fans expect to be. And if you're not going to buy the bigger players and also sell your better players to your rivals. I mean, Nainggolan went into Milan in the summer, which for me was a disaster. I think Nainggolan's a really good player. If you're going to sell him, don't sell him to your rivals. But in Italy, that seems to happen all the time where, you know, players just move from club to club in Italy. There's kind of no kind of loyalty over there. So, different. I mean, they were talking about replacing him, but he got two decent results. I think they beat Lazio and they beat somebody else 2-0 last week. I can't remember who they beat. So maybe he's got a little bit more time there at Roma to turn it around.
Mm-hmm. Right, over in Deutschland, the Hamburg derby may have ended goalless, but the big story had nothing to do with what happened on the pitch. In fact, it had everything to do with what happened off it. German police expected violence between both sets of supporters, but what they got was more or less a sanitary problem. Over 1,500 police officers were deployed to keep the peace and were doing a good job. That was until St. Pauli's fans were greeted with stink bombs. One local paper even reported that excrement was spread all over the ground leading to the away supporters' entrance. Rod, we've reported some really strange stories on the show over the past few years, but this has to be very high on that list. Have you experienced anything as strange as that, or even anything strange as an away supporter?
No, not really, no. Nothing as strange as that. It was got quite leery at the semi-final in Juventus in 99, but that was pretty scary. But nothing as weird as that, no.
Okay. Jan, you as a former semi-pro, or whatever you want to call yourself, did you experience any fecal issues when it came to games?
No, not that I can think of. I mean, I don't know if this is related, but I was a ball boy for AEK Larnaca in Cyprus, and they were playing Abuel, the big boys. And the ball went into the away fans. I went to get it, and they started abusing me. They were like, "Oh, who are you?" And they were like, "What team do you support?" And so I said to them, "Man United," and they kind of left me alone after that. You know, I quite like Abuel after that, but man, not. Nothing really. It's a bit of a strange one. No wonder the game finished 0-0.
I don't know how to respond to that really, but
I watched it on Sunday. It was terrible. The Hamburg game was really bad, but anyway.
Probably made you feel worse about United's result, didn't it? There's nothing worse than recovering from a United game, United defeat, than watching a 0-0 draw between St. Pauli and Hamburg.
Now we've had a lot of games that thud like failures. A lot of games back in like places like Rosendale and Mosley, you know, where people have got six fingers and mullets.
Bloody hell.
So no, just Newcastle, the roof come off the corrugated iron roof as we're playing the game and nearly killed someone. But nothing as weird as that, though.
Gents, didn't that happen in the Seville game the other day against Eibar?
What happened?
I think that Seville scored and the fans were celebrating, and was it something collapsed, didn't they?
Pass. I don't know, maybe. Yeah, you're supposed to know. You're the European football expert here.
Yeah, I am. It's just because of United, I didn't pay too much attention this weekend. I was on a downer. But,
Man, United ruined your life.
Oh, mate. It's really sad, but it's true.
Oh, blimey. Right, that's our review. Let's do the answers to our quiz, shall we? Yes? Okay, right. So, Manchester United 2, Norwich City 0 from season 2011-2012. Who wants to guess first?
What game was that, sorry?
United 2, Norwich 0.
I'm going to go with Wayne Rooney and Michael Carrick.
Okay. Yeah?
I'm going to go Rooney as well and Kagawa.
Okay. Everton 0, Liverpool 2. Yeah, and you go first this time.
Peter Crouch. Dirk Kuyt.
Okay. Rod?
We had Dirk Kuyt last week, so you're not going to go with him again. So.
Yeah, but he didn't score Kuyt last week.
Yeah, he did.
Did he?
Yeah.
All right. Come on.
Keith, Steven Gerrard And I'll go with free kick from John Alarisa.
Okay. Right, Blackburn 0, Mancetta 4. This will be a fun one.
Robinho 2.
But as I say, Robinho 3. Come on, sis, you don't know who else scored. And not, it wasn't Samaras.
And Lallana.
Who?
And Kiki Musampa.
So you've gone with Sampa, Elano, and two for Robinho. Bloody hell, okay. Yeah. You're scraping the barrel of this one. Come on, Rod, salvage something here.
I'm going to go Adebayor. Vincent Kompany, and Yaya Toure. Two.
Oh, bloody hell. Okay, right. Gentlemen, this is appalling. This is very bad. This is very, very bad. I think this is the worst we've ever done. Okay, let me go through this. Man United 2, Norwich City 0. Goal scorers for United were Danny Welbeck and Viv.
Anderson. Who, Anderson?
Yep. Right.
Viv Anderson. Oh, man.
Yeah, the other Anderson that likes Nando's a lot. Right. Everton 0, Liverpool 2. Goal scorers for Liverpool, Andy Carroll.
Who?
Andy Bubble. Carroll. And Luis Suarez. Right. Blackburn 0, Man City 4. Goal scorers for Manchester City. Savic, Nasri, Balotelli, and a winger that I won't mention because he's in the nick.
Johnson.
There you go. So, gentlemen, you scored a pathetic 0.
Yeah, but that's like, how are we just supposed to keep, we don't even remember it. Only just remember the squads of your own team, never mind someone else.
are you suggesting this
turnover players in the last 7 or 8 years have been massive?
Are you not suggesting that this game is difficult?
No, I like it. At least you know that we're not cheating.
Well, yeah, I tell you what, why don't you choose some games next week, Jan? Why don't you do it?
All right, I will. What year?
Whatever year you want, just
you pick a year.
All right, I'll pick a year. It's on me next week. Okay, fine.
That's your homework.
And then I'll do the week after.
Okay.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, okay.
There's your homework for the next couple of weeks, gents.
That's fine.
Excellent.
I'm happy with that.
Lovely. Right, that's it for us this week. Thank you guys for listening. Just like to give a quick shout out to everyone on FNX at the moment. The Three Midfield, the Playmakers Podcast, the 4231 Podcast. It's great to have you guys on board the network. There's another one I forgot. You know what? I really need to brush up on my research because Jordan Bryan has got a fantastic podcast that's also on FNX. I'm really sorry. I keep forgetting to mention his podcast because he's absolutely fantastic. So feel free to follow Jordan on Twitter at underscore Jordan J Bryan, and also Sofa Sports News, another fantastic podcast. So yeah, that's everyone.
Now, before we go,
yes.
Can I save a bit of praise for yourself, if I may?
Yeah, I was just going to say that then.
Go on.
Yeah.
What have I done?
A certain Mr. Still appeared on TalkSport.
Oh, bloody hell, you had to mention that, didn't you? Christ.
Yeah, I had to.
Thank
First
you very
of
much,
all,
yeah.
Congratulations. And second, how was it?
Yeah, it was an experience. I'd like to thank Jed for inviting me. It was all surreal, really, because I'd never been to a massive company like that before, and to see that the way they operate in the background and is very professional, as you'd expect. But it was also laid back and an interesting experience because we do live shows and everything, and we're obviously not as big as TalkSport. We don't have that many listeners. So to see so many people popping up on Twitter, at in TalkSport, and commenting on our opinions on what was great. So, yeah, it was a great experience, and I hope we can all be on at one point.
How long was you on for?
2 hours 15 minutes.
Oh, was you? Oh, yeah. Right, okay.
So they kept me there for that. Oh, sorry. They put up with me for that long.
Yeah, I did listen. I did listen for about 20 minutes, but
You're in Ibiza. Yeah. So yeah. Oh, thank you for that. Anyway, I mean, I'm glad that I didn't ruin your experience.
But yeah, he's on the taxi on the way home just to get changed.
Great stuff, great stuff. Well, guys, yeah, thanks again for appearing. Give us your Twitter handle.
Mine's Rod James Giggs.
Jan, hello.
Oh, sorry.
He's trying to remember it.
Jesus Christ.
Pogba out.
That's already taken by Jose Mourinho.
Oh, yeah, so Yannick is Jane.
Excellent, excellent. And that podcast I forgot to mention was the Football Fans podcast. I'm sorry, Jordan. But yeah, at Football Fans Pod. Everyone on FNX, big shout out to everyone. Happy birthday, Kane, one of the founders of the network. Thank you to all our Patreons. And yeah, we'll be back at some point next week. So until next time, take care.